Did you know you were called and you were meant to be sheep? What kind of image do you have of yourself being a sheep? Any of you have a lot of wool or smell? One author writes, her experience is rather limited with sheep. Some of you may be more gifted in the knowledge of sheep than I or she. She states how she's watched them from a distance. I've seen sheep from a distance. I'm sure you have, riding down the highway or somewhere. She talks about walking with them on the Isle of Iona. Many people go there for retreat or for sabbatical. She writes, she finds them skittish and rather aloof. She even writes that she's eaten occasional lamb chop. I don't really like lamb kebabs or chops. Some of you may like lamb. She also mentions that she's allergic to wool. I don't like to wear wool. It usually makes me scratch and itch. Most of what I've heard is very unflattering about sheep. So you're not a very flattering bunch. Sheep are reputed to be stupid. Anybody want to raise their hand? No, keep it down. Lacking in initiative, lacking or possibly falling off cliffs, getting entangled in the brush. Sheep are not very playful. She writes, the lady quotes, "Lambs have a winsome charm, but the adult animal is dull and a little boring." There may be some variation on color when you see sheep, but most resemble each other and look rather bland. To see one sheep is to see them all. I hope you don't take offense or mind being likened to a sheep today. The other part is a shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. This is what makes him good according to John's gospel. His willingness to get involved, to risk his life for the life of the sheep. They know his voice. They know his touch. They even recognize his walk. And throughout scripture and hymns and anthems, we have the beautiful image of the good shepherd. Our anthem today, "The Lord is My Shepherd," often called the Shepherd Psalm, probably the most beloved of all psalms and the most familiar to us. And we love it for good reason. It speaks of those green pastures, the still waters, the restored souls. But more than that, it speaks of the all-knowing, all-powerful shepherd who gave his life and who devotes full attention to the care and feeding of those sheep. It assures us of God's loving presence in our lives both now and forevermore. The prophet and priest Ezekiel lived in a time of international upheaval. A lot is happening today there as well. Much of what he writes and speaks in the first part of Ezekiel was prior to the fall of the city of Jerusalem. The later chapters talk about the exile that is taking place. Then and now, Jerusalem is a very significant symbol for Israel. In many ways, it represents God's promises, God's trustworthiness, and to many of them, his power. But when overtaken and captured by the Babylonians, the community's sense of that security and that hope, as you can imagine, was shattered. They even wondered, where was God in the midst of all of this? They even wondered, why would God let it happen? How could we even trust Him now? And can His power really preserve us and restore us? And it's that prophet and priest Ezekiel who was there to address those concerns. "I myself," he writes, "will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God," as Ezekiel writes. "I will seek the lost and bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak." We are God's people, the sheep of His pasture. God will bring Israel home from the exile and feed them and bind up their wounds and give them a place to lie down. Ezekiel was telling them that God would bring Israel home and restore it. And we have that beautiful imagery today. We also have it, of course, in Psalm 23. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. In Jeremiah 31, 10, and on and on. God's care for His people and His model for generations to come, you and I, of human sheep and shepherds. For most of us, the words of Psalm 23 ring out with that special word, "The Lord is my shepherd." It brings up all kinds of images when we think about sheep, when we think about our own care and needs and concerns. But the image of God is, well, an affirmation of the order of life, the way things were created and meant to be. For we are always created, and forever God is the creator. We are the ones who follow. God is the one who leads, the good shepherd. Look at that opening scene in Psalm 23. What do you see as the psalm begins? A cool, green pasture. A pool of refreshing water. A soft place for resting. Great paths for walking. And over it all is a figure of a shepherd who provides everything that is needed. "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack for nothing." Frederick Buechner writes, "God is like a shepherd, and like a shepherd He feeds us. He feeds that part of us which is the hungriest and most in need of feeding. Sure, He recognizes all the other things that we need, but He recognizes that one thing that is most important, and He feeds that." But when the psalmist says, "I shall not want," maybe Buechner thinks he is speaking utter and profound truth. For he writes, "Maybe it means that if we keep our eyes open, our hearts open, and our lives open, we will at least never be in want of the one thing we want more than anything else." He goes on to write, "Maybe it means that whatever else is withheld, that maybe we've yearned for or sought after but never achieved, whatever it is withheld, the shepherd never withholds himself. And he is what we want more than anything else. That relationship with God, that contact, that care of the good shepherd. If the Lord is indeed our shepherd, then life never plays out like we think it should, or maybe it is patterned after. For you see, the losing becomes finding, and crying becomes laughter. The last become first, the weak become strong. Instead of life being done in, when death happens in the end, we always supposed it would end. Death is done finally in by life. And if the Lord is our host at the great banquet, then surely the sky is the limit and the pasture is abundant. In John's gospel, a few chapters before our passage, John records for us the words of Jesus when he again says, "I am the good shepherd." And here is what Jesus, as the good shepherd, did to care for his sheep. He calls his sheep by name, and he leads them out. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. And Jesus says, "I am the gate for the sheep." The shepherd would literally lay down across the opening of the sheepfold, the gate. He would literally lay his body down, trying to keep the sheep from wandering out of the fold and any predators from coming in to getting the sheep. The image of the shepherd, prostrate on the floor, laying down, protecting. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The good shepherd also has and will always open the gate to let the other sheep come in and join the flock. For all are welcomed. So once we see God as the shepherd, the next realization for us is to understand and to realize that we are his sheep. For the people in Jesus' day, that was an easy thing to understand. They saw sheep and shepherds every day. They saw them, they heard them, they smelled them. For them, it was ordinary and real, and they could just feel and sense what was being shared with them. And that is where we need to be. For sheep then and now lose their way, and so do we. Sheep fall into places they cannot get out of, and so do we. Sheep are trusting. Are we? Sheep need a shepherd. Do we? Sheep and shepherds. We are both not only in the biblical account, but in life today. And maybe we are as vulnerable as the sheep and just as oblivious to the dangers surrounding us as we walk through life. Like the sheep, we too are often in the wilderness, looking for the right place to graze and to drink the cool water. So many times we often put ourselves in danger. We wander through life as though we were indestructible, when in truth, we are not. We live as stupidly as the sheep, overextending our resources without paying attention to what we are doing. And we are reminded in the psalmist and by the priest and in the gospel that all of us are lost. We're lost sheep. Think about times when you have felt lost in your life. When you're all alone in that hospital waiting room and you need someone to come and sit with you. When you're feeling guilty or full of doubt and you need someone to reassure you. When you've done wrong and you need someone to reach out to you. when you're a teenager and wonder if anyone understands or leaves or even loves you. When you're sick or dying or afraid and need someone to be strong for you, it's not that hard to imagine in life that we live ourselves as those lost sheep. But the good news is that Jesus is the good shepherd. We are the ones who have been loved by the good shepherd and cared for all the day long. We have been watched over, provided for, cared through in difficult and rough times. And Jesus has even stayed with us and walked with us through the valley of the shadow of death. We are his beloved, those for whom Jesus laid down his life. And what does Christ do? He invites those who have been so loved to shepherd others, to love as we have been loved, not in word and speech, but in truth and action, in what we are and all that we are about. We are called to those who are vulnerable, those who do stupid things like we do, those who are stragglers, those who are hurt, and those who need help. We're called to provide a sheep for Heifer International so that others in other parts of the world can have a life and income. We're called to stay with those who need a shepherd, to carry them as Christ has carried us, to encourage them as we have been encouraged. And maybe most important for us who call ourselves the church, we are called to be their shepherd and not be in their face shouting directions to them. For we honor the one who is our good shepherd by serving others and leading them to the still waters and the place of restored souls. God prepares a table before us even in the presence of our enemies. He anoints us and our cup runneth over. The Lord is our shepherd and invites us to shepherd others in and through the goodness and mercy and grace that he gives to us, that we may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you remember what happened with the risen Christ and Peter, his disciple, along the seashore? There was Peter, so eager to see Jesus. He was out in a boat with the other disciples fishing. He jumps out of the boat, swims to the shore. He could not wait for the boat to arrive. And Jesus asked him those poignant questions, not once, not twice, but three times. You remember the questions. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter's response, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Then Christ says, feed my lambs. A second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Then Christ says, tend my sheep. And a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. The good news is that God comes to us not once, not twice, not three times, not 100 times, asking us if we love him. But he also says for us to tend his sheep and to feed his sheep. So the question I leave with you, First Baptist, flock of God, known and unknown, there are sheep to tend. they're more together in. Maybe even you. But the good news, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. Let us pray. Do you love me? Oh God, we love you. Then feed my sheep. Uphold us, oh God, even when we do stupid things. For your love is amazing and your grace is endless. Thanks be to God for your amazing love and grace, and for being the good shepherd. Amen.